Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Mike Hill. I'm sitting in for Dr. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is now in the process of making arrangements to take care of the homecoming for his son, Gene Youngblood Jr. Unfortunately, Dr. Youngblood's son passed away last week, and it is very unfortunate because in my mind, it could have been prevented if he had received the proper protocols at the hospital, which he was admitted. But instead, he succumbed to the treatments that they provided, which had disastrous effects. At any rate, folks, I would ask that you please continue to pray for Dr. Youngblood and his family. Pray for their comfort that only the Lord can give. But ask the Lord to send that comfort to the family in this times that they're going through right now, very difficult times after the loss of their son. Again, I'm Mike Hill. I'm sitting in for Dr. Youngblood. I'm calling from Pensacola, Florida, over in a panhandle. I'm a former member of the Florida State House of Representatives. I represented District 1 and District 2 here in a panhandle. I'm a small business owner. I sell insurance and financial services. Been doing that for 31 years now. Before that, I was active duty Air Force, 10 years in the Air Force after graduating from the U.S. Air Force Academy. So it is my honor to sit in for Dr. Youngblood. We're going to be talking about many different issues today that are facing our nation and how we should react to those as Christians and what is the best way to react to those. If you would like to join the discussion, our number here is 904-831-0917. Again, 904-831-0917. Let's Face the Issues is brought to you in part by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own their own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time also has a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, including Honda and Echo generators. Tools for a Time can answer all of your homeowner and professional and backup power equipment questions. They're located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, near the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295, right at the base of the gigantic 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. You can reach them online at toolsforatime.com. That's toolsforatime.com. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, one of the issues that I would like to begin that we talk about, just one of many, and there are several issues that are facing us right now in this nation, and I would like to add that probably the vast majority of them, more than 75% of them, are man-made disasters caused by this Biden regime, which I would say is so inept, so incompetent, and it's on full display, not only to Americans, but to the world. Now, just last week, they were trying to pass this massive spending bill. and it was proposed by Biden and his allies in Congress. It was a huge spending bill. Moderate Democrats like Senators Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema are on the record arguing that $3.5 trillion is too much money. You think so? Of course, it's way too much money. Oh, and have you seen the way Senator Sinema, I guess that's how you pronounce her name, has been attacked recently by the left? She's been harassed. They followed her into the restroom and videoed going into the restroom, harassing her because she said she did not want to vote yes on this crazy $3.5 trillion bill. And then she's on this flight, and again she's being harassed. The left is unhinged, and they will attack you. They will eat their own just to get what they want. Now back to this $3.5 trillion spending bill. Some speculate that a compromise of $1.5 trillion could be reached, which, by the way, is way too much money. Still, $1.5 trillion. $1.5 trillion equates to $14,000 that every federal taxpayer would have to pay. That includes you, ladies and gentlemen. Can you imagine if all of a sudden you got a bill for $14,000? This is for $1.5 trillion. So they were saying perhaps we can have a compromise and get the $1.5 trillion. But leftist progressive like Representative AOC and Senator Bernie Sanders are threatening to blow everything up if they don't get the full spending package. These socialists, these communists, are threatening to blow up the entire deal. I hope they're successful. Let's make this whole deal fail. We don't need to spend that kind of money. It is outrageous and it's crazy. Here's what's being overlooked in this entire debate. While $3.5 trillion is already an astonishingly huge price tag, $3.5 trillion, by the way, equates to $24,000 per federal taxpayer and would require massive tax hikes. The proposal on offer does not actually cost $3.5 trillion. The figure is a vast underestimation of its true cost. Okay, so it's going to cost more than $3.5 trillion. And that $3.5 trillion is $24,000 per federal taxpayer, which will require massive tax hikes. So to pay for this $3.5 trillion, they're going to have to increase taxes up to $24,000 per federal taxpayer. But then here's the White House press secretary, Jan Psaki, saying last week that it was going to cost $0, that it was going to cost taxpayers nothing. And when she was pressed on this as to how can you say spending $3.5 trillion is not going to cost us anything, she said because it's going to be passed on to corporations and big businesses. They are going to be paying for it. But what she does not understand is there's no such thing as a tax on a business or a corporation. Whenever you increase taxes on them, they simply pass that on as increased prices of the goods and services that they produce. So we do end up paying for it. And then Jan Psaki displaying that she has no concept of how economics works, says that that would be horrible. That would be terrible if these corporations were to increase their prices simply because they're taxed. That doesn't even make any sense. Of course they're going to have to. That's how they stay in business. You must make a profit to stay in business. A business cannot operate unless they make a profit. Now, Democrats are grasping for ways to finance their cradle-to-grave welfare state, with the left demanding what they claim is $3.5 trillion over 10 years. Now, the Wall Street Journal editorial board writes, "The truth is that even that gargantuan number hides the real pains, the real cost of this plan." The Wall Street Journal goes on to say, the editorial board, The bills moving through committee are full of delayed starts, phony phase-outs, and cost shifting to states designed to fit $3.5 trillion into a 10-year budget window that can pass with a mere 51 Senate votes. Let that sink in for a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Just 51 people, if they wanted to, if they decide to do it, can pass on $3.5 trillion in spending on our entire nation. We're a nation of about 350 million people, and 51 senators can put us into long-term debt, costing each individual at least $24,000, each federal taxpayer $24,000. The article goes on to state by the Wall Street Journal editorial board, even if the bill's official price tag shrinks to $2 trillion or less, which is still way too much, the real cost will be far greater. Behold one of the greatest fiscal cons in history. They hit the nail right on the head. The Wall Street Journal editorial board calls this the greatest fiscal con in history. Simply put, the proposed legislation uses budget gimmicks, and unusual timelines to make it seem like they're spending less than they likely would spend if actually implemented. According to the Nonpartisan Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, the true cost of the plan is likely closer to $5 trillion. So if $3.5 trillion is going to cost $24,000 per federal taxpayer, $5 trillion is going to cost $38,000 per federal taxpayer. Again, what household, middle-class Americans who are working hard every day, get up, go to work, work hard, come home in the evening, eat dinner, help their kids with their homework, watch a little TV, go to bed, get up the next morning again, do that 5, maybe 6 days a week, and they are just being able to make ends meet by doing that, paying their own bills. Can you imagine the government all of a sudden putting on top of that an additional bill of $38,000 that you have to pay? Where are you going to get that money from? You're barely making ends meet at this point. And now the government wants to put another huge bill on you, and they're going to try and paint it as if, oh, no, you won't be paying for that. It's only going to be going to big business, which is a complete fabrication. Now, back to the Wall Street Journal editorial board. We estimate the policies under consideration could cost between $5 trillion and $5.5 trillion over a decade, assuming they were made permanent. The organization goes on to report, in order to fit these proposals within a $3.5 trillion budget target, lawmakers apparently intend to have some policies expire by the end of the 10-year window, using this often criticized budget gimmick to hide their true cost. So in other words, what they're saying is that, yes, we're going to spend money. And oh, by the way, they call it an infrastructure bill. Only 10% of it is spent on infrastructure, such as roads, bridges, airports, ports, and so forth. Only 10% of that is spent on infrastructure. The rest of it is to expand the leftist socialist agenda of their desire to provide all kinds of benefits to many people, making them dependent on the government. Now, progressive politicians are pushing a multi-trillion dollar spending package that, even taken at face value, would blow out the budget and cost taxpayers unthinkable amounts of money. Yet they're actually understating the true cost of their proposal by up to $2 trillion. Again, we're looking at $34,000 per household. And even if that were spread out over a 10-year period, who which household right now could afford an additional $38,000 in debt? For a lot of people, that is two car payments. That is a house payment. And add that on top of what you are currently working to take care of in your household, and you can see how this is just lunacy that the left would even consider spending something like this. And here's Joe Biden trying to press it. Last week, it did not pass, thank goodness. And here's Joe Biden saying, oh, there's no race. We have time. We can do it in 6 days, 6 weeks, or 6 months, but we're going to get it done. Heaven forbid that they get it done. We have to stop it and make sure it does not happen. This dishonesty is mind-boggling and unacceptable. If lawmakers want to bankrupt the country, raise our taxes, and waste our money, they ought to at least be upfront about it. Yeah, right. Politicians can't be upfront about it. That's one thing the left cannot do. They cannot be truthful and honest about what they are actually doing, because if they did, they know that it would not pass by American citizens. They do the same thing when they run for election. They never tell you what they truly believe and want to do because they want to get elected. Here was Biden saying that he was going to be a moderate. He is anything but a moderate. He's an extremist right now. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. If you would like to join the discussion, you can call in at 904-831-0917. That's 904-831-0917. Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Jean A. Youngblood on Let's Face the Issue. So, what can you do about something like that as a citizen? The first thing you do is not just sit at home and do nothing. You make sure that you contact your elected official, your representative, your senator, and you tell them to vote no on this bill. You contact on this spending bill, this $3.5 trillion, which is actually closer to $5 trillion in actuality, should they tell you the truth. Contact Senator Manchin and Senator Sinema, I guess that's how you pronounce her name, I'm not sure, contact both of them and thank them for standing up to this leftist hijacking of our economy. Just tell them, thank them for saying, for standing up and saying no. But your own congressman and senator here in the state of Florida, that would be Senator Marco Rubio and Senator Rick Scott. Contact them and tell them to vote no on this crazy package. Republicans must stand firm, must stand in unity, voting no on this $5 trillion spending boondoggle. We just can't afford it. Now, related to that is another article here. This is by Anthony Davies. This was written on October 4th. And he goes on to say this: for years, politicians have claimed that the rich weren't paying their fair share. That's the truth. We've heard that. That started way back with Obama. They must pay their fair share. But nobody ever defines what that fair share is. While it's taken a decade or more for voters to catch wind of the truth, people are finally beginning to realize that the rich actually pay far more than the rest of us. That's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. They do. According to the Congressional Budget Office figures, the average household in the top 1% earns 120 times what the average poor household earns, but pays 2,000 times the taxes. Let me repeat that again. That's an amazing statement there, that the average household in the top 1% earns 120 times what the average poor household earns. Okay, so the rich earn a lot more money than the poor do, of course, obviously. But this is what a lot of people don't know. The rich pay 2,000 times more in taxes than the poor do, even after deductions, exemptions, write-offs, income deferrals, and whatever other accounting and legal ways the rich are able to throw at their tax returns. In the end, the typical 1%er paid 32% of his income. A third of their income they're paying, all sources combined. This was in 2018 versus 13% for the typical middle class and almost 0% for the typical poor household. So in other words, the poor, those who are earning $20,000 or less, do not pay any taxes. Zero income taxes. The middle class is paying 13% of their income, and the rich are paying 32% of their income. Sounds like they're paying their fair share to me, more than their fair share. In fact, it is crazy that we have this progressive tax system that you are being punished for earning more income. The more you earn, the more they tax you. That is crazy. Instead, it should be a flat amount that's being taxed based on consumption, not on your earnings. Okay, back to this article by Anthony Davies, which was written in the American Institute for Economic Research. It's a great organization. They can be reached at AIER.org. That's American Institute for Economic Research. This article written by Anthony Davies on October 4th goes on to say, it's clear that Americans have figured out the truth about who pays, especially because politicians are shifting the goalpost. Elizabeth Warren shifted the conversation from what fraction of income the rich paid to what fraction of wealth they paid. And President Biden has upped the ante by talking about taxing unrealized capital gains. The article goes on to explain what unrealized capital gains are, and then we'll get into that. First, this is unprecedented. The federal government has no constitutional authority to tax wealth. And here's Elizabeth Warren talking about taxing the rich, not based on income, but based on their wealth. The federal government has no constitutional authority to tax wealth, and never have unrealized gains been considered income, either in the realm of accounting or economics. And here's Biden talking about wanting to tax unrealized gains. Here's what an unrealized gain is. Unrealized gains is simply an investment in process. What shows up as a gain today can easily turn into a loss tomorrow. Ask anyone who invested in Bitcoin in March 2021, or gold in August 2011, or housing in 2007. An investment's tale isn't told until the investor cashes out. Unrealized gains are not gains. They are hypotheticals. So in other words, Biden wants to tax you on money that you haven't even received yet, that you're simply investing, but you haven't sold your stock, you haven't sold your home, you haven't sold your gold, and you haven't even realized the gain yet. He wants to tax you just on the basis that you are investing in it. What politicians want is to foment class warfare. If they can get the middle class and poor to resent the rich, those same politicians can expand the scope of federal taxation into areas it has never before touched. But watch out. The article goes on to say, politicians are only partially interested in the rich. They are very interested in the middle class. In 2018, middle and upper middle class households combined earned double what the top 1% earned. And the federal government currently taxes the middle classes at rates less than half of what it taxes the 1%. Politicians see the middle class as a largely untapped revenue source. You get that, ladies and gentlemen? That they want to come after you. Right now, they're saying it's just the rich, but they indeed want to come after you. Why? Because they see you as an untapped revenue source. And these crazy leftists right now who want to spend $5 trillion need your money to do it. They're going to come after you. While President Biden says that a tax on unrealized gains will only apply to billionaires once instituted, there is nothing stopping the government from applying it to everyone else. If it did so, the middle class would find itself awash in taxation. Most middle class wealth is tied up in home values. The median sale price of existing homes shot up 14% just in the past year. If the government applied an unrealized capital gains tax to all homeowners, the median homeowner would get socked with a $7,000 tax bill. And that's just for 1 year. So here is what's called unrealized capital gains. This is what Biden wants to do. Never been done before in history, and there's no constitutional authority to do it. That based on just last year, how house prices went up just 14%, you're living in the same home. You haven't sold it. You haven't even put it on the market. But simply because the value went up 14%, that means you had an unrealized capital gains, which means that you would have a tax bill. The median homeowner would get a tax bill for $7,000 in 1 year. Now imagine you having to pay for that on top of all your other bills that you're paying for now. Your school's college tuition, your day-to-day living, just putting gas in your car, buying groceries, paying utility bills, paying your own mortgage, and add on top of that another $7,000. That's over $600 a month that you would have to pay in addition to all of your current bills. And again, remember, that's just 1 year. Now, the value of the median home rises more than 3.5% per year. And at current capital gains tax rates, the median worker will get hit with an additional $1,500 federal taxes each year simply because his home was, on paper, worth more than a year before. The average 401k or IRA account is worth about $135,000. Given stock market gains this last year, the average saver would have been seen around $13,000 in unrealized capital gains. And a $2,000 tax bill if those unrealized gains were taxed. So in other words, you owned a home and you had an IRA with about $135,000 in it. Because how the market went up, both on homeowners and in the stock market, you would have had total $9,000 taxes and unrealized gains that you would have to pay. That's if Joe Biden and the left gets their way. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene Youngblood. We're going to continue this after the top of the hour. I will invite you to stay and listen and join the discussion. Mike Hill sitting in for Dr. Gene Youngblood on Let's Face the Issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.